The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you on Wednesday morning, the 31st of March, last day of March 2021. Here we go then. Text number is 51551, you can email ryan@rte.ie. At 9:04, it's great to have you with us. Until 10 o'clock. Wasn't that a beautiful day in Dublin yesterday? I hope the rest of the country got it. I think it did stretch across the island, which is just gorgeous. And I'd say sales of ice creams went through the roof. And I know people were swimming and excited to be outdoors. And then came Micheál Martin. Outdoors, al fresco last night with his statement to the country. And I was kind of looking at it going, oh gosh, I was kind of making some food in the kitchen. And I was saying, go on, Micheál, give us some good news. And I wasn't expecting particularly good news. And I thought I was going to kind of come out of it going, grumpy. But actually, I felt strangely hopeful after last night's speech. I thought there was more in it than I was expecting. I think that what they're staggering it, and I get that. I know that's going to divide a lot of people in terms of the fact that they've decided it's by age the vaccinations are coming and not by profession, and that's going to upset teachers and Gardaí and so on. But then the point was made, wasn't it, that, you know, if you're 30 and you get... and you're, say, a teacher and you get the vaccine, and if you're 60 and you get the vaccine, who should get it first? That's the question. The teachers will say, well, of course we should, because we're in a class full of people that, and on it goes. That's the debate. But, and we're not going to do that debate here. I'm just saying, broadly speaking, I felt more positive afterwards. I liked the fact that the older people who were so cruelly cocooned, and I use the word purposely, seemed to be getting a bit more of a rub of the green on this one. Whereby if you're vaccinated, you can meet one other person indoors now, and that'll obviously progress. I also love the fact that since the vaccines have happened, when I'm going shopping, I now meet old people again. I forgot how few I had met and stopped and spoken to. But in the last 2 weeks, I'm stopped a lot, and I love every one of them because I'd forgotten. And I've just been meeting the same people all the time. But now with vaccinations, they're coming out of their homes and they're doing their own shopping, and it's beautiful, and it's kind of their turn, you know. We were able to kind of keep going in a manner of speaking while they had to be cocooned, and now it's their turn. They're the ones who can get a bit more freedom than us. It's no one wants to have their liberties in any way withheld, but you kind of just feel, yeah, go for it, go and run free and have fun, and you deserve it. So yeah, it's a tough road, and it continues, but I just got a sense, yeah, this is going to get a little bit better. And if they come good on their word about the vaccinations and the number of them, you know, summer's coming down the tracks very, very soon. April 1st tomorrow, and on we go. So here's hoping, eh? Sharon sent us an email overnight. She said, we've just arranged the memorial notice for my father who died from COVID a year ago on Easter Saturday. You made me laugh during the year, she says, at dark times, particularly the Ghostbusters on the flute gone wrong. Isn't it funny what people pick up? She said that was one of the few spontaneous laughs. Very welcome. But can I say to your listeners, we are now at the beginning of the end, not at the beginning of the horror of the last year. And I cannot begin to grieve the loss of my father, as like so many others last April, we lost very fit, healthy parents. No visiting, no wake, no funeral, just a coffin, grave diggers and our wonderful priest. No one needs to be in this situation again if we just give it a couple of months. And I and others would endure everything again to have our loved ones back. Well, thank you, Sharon. And I hope you're doing okay. It's a year on, and we accept your email in the spirit in which you wrote it, and understand exactly what you feel and how you feel. It makes perfect sense. But hopefully, we're on the right road. Hank and Karen Prager were on. Hank and Kieran. Ryan, my wife and I love to listen to your podcast from Dublin. We live in Pismo Beach, California. Listening in the morning. Today we listened to your podcast where you had a chat with Ronan Hessian about his book, Leonard and Hungry Paul. And we immediately went to our local library in Arroyo Grande in California. And because of COVID, they have a limited service. But when we asked about the book, it was there. So We're now looking forward to reading it. What a small world. I love that. I love when people text in and email in from America, because it's just kind of interesting as a place that, you know, I'd know a little bit, to find out where they are, what time of the day, what are they doing, and are they missing home? And is this the shot in the arm that says Ireland? Love that. So thanks, Hank. Thanks, Karen. I hope you enjoy the book. Let us know how you are, and we wish you every good luck over in the United States of America, where not only do you need good luck, but Joe Biden's dogs need good luck. They're at it again. I'm afraid it's not looking good. Major problem, as they say, you know, the RTE.ie. Major problem. Joe Biden's dog. It's a rescue dog called Major, one of two German shepherds, has bitten another person for the second time. And that's not good news in the dog world. The other dog, Champ, is an old Washington hand, well used to it. But they're saying that this Major is having adjustment issues with the White House. I mean, who wouldn't have adjustment issues in the White House, let's face it. But major problem there. So we'll see how that goes. And then my heart lifted when I saw this message last night. Following a phenomenal Daffodil Day, the Irish Cancer Society has confirmed it will be doubling funding for cancer trials for 2021 from €500,000 to €1 million. And I would imagine that would be attributed to a lot of you who donated on Daffodil Day throughout the day and into the night. And that is just don't lose sight of good news stories around the place. And that's definitely one of them. It's just so gorgeous, you know. I was talking to some of the guys on the Late team yesterday, and we were reflecting on the various charities we've been working with in the year of the pandemic. And the feedback from the charities is so overwhelmingly positive that not only is it the money, it's the morale boost among the people who work in the charities, whether it's Pieta or the Vincent de Paul, or any of them we worked with in the last year. And so it was very, very heartening to hear about that. So I'm very, very, very thrilled. And that's something that we can all take a piece of, because everyone was being so generous. That's the truth. Deirdre O'Shaughnessy is the news editor at the Irish Examiner. She tweeted to say, "I just said to my husband, stop trying to make fetch happen." Now, if you know the movie, you'll know that reference straight away. Stop trying to make fetch happen. He has no idea what I'm on about. Men don't know anything, and I miss drunk women from my life. Do you feel her pain? You know, and you can flip that for fellas, by the way, if you want to. You probably feel the same way about wanting to go meet the lads. But that quote being, of course, from Mean Girls, which is good. It's a great movie. Maeve Quill says, "I totally agree. My mum is loving being able to go back to the shops. It's given her a huge lift." That's what it's about. And your mum, Maeve, and my mum, and all the mums and dads who are having a chance to just to live again and embrace normality. IrishExaminer.com reporting that the thriller by Louise O'Neill looks set to be adapted for the screen by the production team behind Peaky Blinders. That is a great collaboration. Well done. It's a great book. After the Silence has been bought. Tiger Aspect has bought the film and TV rights for that, which is set on an island. If you haven't read it, highly recommend it. Set on an island off the Irish coast, follows documentary crew's attempts to uncover the truth about the death of a young girl at a party there 10 years earlier. It's a page turner par excellence, and it was the On Post Irish crime novel of the year, actually. And so I think that will work very, very well on TV and film. So well done to one and all in that regard. What else is going to the musical world? A Broadway musical has become the first major show, this is also good news, to announce a 2021 reopening date. So that's Broadway. The lights are being switched on, they're polishing the bulbs, and they're getting ready to open the theatres again. But the musical in question is Diana, the musical. Now, I don't know how they'll make that work, but that's what it is. It's about, obviously, the late Princess of Wales. It'll resume performances at the Long Acre Theatre on December the 1st. Opening night, December 16th, just inside 2021. That's 1 year and 8 months after the production's originally planned opening of March 31st, 2020. And that was canned, obviously. An unusual move the Diana producers have made is they've decided to debut the musical, like Hamilton, but this time on Netflix, before the curtains rise again on Broadway.
The cast filmed the show in its New York theatre last September without an audience, and then you can stream that. And I think that's going to work because theatre people, I would have thought, said, oh, you have to go and be in the theatre to understand the theatre and to get the theatre. And that's true. However, with Hamilton, which I'd never seen, and I've watched them perform it on the stage, but on TV, if you know what I'm saying, has only made me want to go and see it more. So I don't think it's going to take away from ticket sales for the theatre. I think it's actually going to enhance them. That would be my argument. We shall see. Apparently, a show called Who Killed Sarah is very good. Mexican crime series. I'm in the middle of the crime world of Naples with Gomorrah at the moment, which is just amazing. But Who Killed Sarah is being recommended about the place broadly, if you want to get involved in that. Okay, lots of emails I'm going to get to at one point. I just want to read this one from Martina. To say thank you for highlighting cancer in Ireland and fair play to all involved, including Jedward last Friday night. We lost our mam from cancer January 19th. The care that she got was excellent. The palliative team was incredible. Only a phone call each time. And there they were. They kept us going in tough times. And they were very, very discreet. And mam felt very at ease with them. And we're blessed that she passed in her own home with us beside her. I want to thank all those in Kilkenny who helped keep her comfortably and maintained her dignity. She loved your show every morning. Oh, Lord. And tuned in like clockwork. Thank you, Martina. And we wish you well this morning. And thank you for sharing your story, because actually it's good to know that that's back to the world of the night nurses. It's a world I wasn't familiar with until Friday night, being honest with you. And the funding for the night nurses are for people like your mum. And that's what it's all about. So thank you for that. Elizabeth Morgan was on to say, I felt I had to write to you. After last Friday's Late Late Show, cancer has played too big a part in my family's life. Myself, my husband and my mother were all cancer survivors, and we are the lucky ones. And my husband's first wife and his father are, as well as many other family members, weren't so lucky. On Friday, you managed to interweave the stories of compassion and profound sadness along with those of hope. And I was moved by all the heartfelt sharing of personal experiences from those affected by cancer, from Shane Vylan's loss of both his beloved parents to Hillary, the night nurse, who holds the hands of those nearing the end of their journey. Cuiva's story in particular resonated with me. I was her sixth class teacher. Oh, right, okay. And find it so hard to comprehend, says Elizabeth, that this beautiful young girl is no longer with us. Her mum Lorraine's tribute to Cuiva was truly inspiring. So I want to thank you and all your team in the midst of so much sadness that there was also such hope. More people are surviving cancer, and that's down to all the research and the fact that during these uncertain times, thousands of people was still donated to the Irish Cancer Society. It's real reason for us to be very hopeful. So with renewed thanks, Ryan, and sending love and hope to all those on their cancer journey. Best wishes, Elizabeth Morgan. Now, that's just a flavour. We got lots in, but all thoughtful and reflective and kind, which is great. I'll go to one or two others in a few more minutes' time, but the text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie, and we have a lovely competition for you this morning, which we will bring to you a little later on with our friends from Petfix. And we've got a couple of calls that I want to pick up from yesterday as well. But musically, I was talking about this crazy horse yesterday or the day before, so I thought, yeah, let's bring him on. You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. The Dream
would be able to play even a quarter or a scintilla of his ability on the piano would be to retire to the little cottage near the water in Connemara, near a pub, walking distance, but with an upright piano, an old jalopy, don't want a new one, and then just learn how to play something like that for the rest of my life. I'd be happy. That's it. That's the dream. Maybe a few fly fishing rods in the corner and then, open fire. Not too much. I mean, the list is there. It's completely in my head. I know exactly what I want, but it's just time will tell. Thank you so much for playing Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm bopping around my apartment like a mad thing, says Margaret. Perfect way to start off my second birthday alone in lockdown. Oh my God. Thank you. You're welcome. Well, Ryan, says Miriam in Cabinteely. That got me moving. I'm dancing here in Cabinteely. Turn the radio up high. The poor neighbours. Know the poor neighbours. The happy neighbours. Listen to The Killer on Wednesday morning on the radio. There's nothing wrong with that. And a beautiful day yesterday, says the text. I was so happy to meet my friend who walked our local golf club, or our members, which is in within our 500 kilometres. I was disappointed that we can't go back playing till 26th, but I understand that we are nearly there and I'm happy to wait. I think it's important to get all our kids back to school. Yeah. So the key to it yesterday was, in some ways, saying that day, the 26th. So you know
when you're looking at your golf course or your tennis court, wherever you happen to be fortunate enough to be, and you think, right, or your GAA pitch, and you think, well, at least I have a date now. That's good news. Drop you a quick line, say hello from Spain. Hola, I'm from Cork, living here in Spain near the only desert in Europe after escaping Brexit after 20 years in the UK. It's brilliant to listen to you every morning and after the hear the news from and the chat from home. Ireland will always be home. Thinking of everyone back here, there, on the Emerald Isle, especially at this difficult time. Thank you, Jennifer. Have a great day and adios for now. Just thought I'd text to tell you that I'm seeing my mum tomorrow for the first time since last August. Holy smoke. She has had both vaccinations. She's excited about getting out and about again. I haven't seen my daughter and her husband since last March, so hopefully I can get to see them soon. They all live in Cove. Well, isn't that beautiful? That's Joe in Wexford. This is good news. Jimmy in Kilkenny just got through a checkpoint. The Garda wasn't as excited about Jerry Lee Lewis as I was. Well, you know, they're probably there from an early start and they're standing on the side of the street going, and what is the purpose of your journey? And you're sitting there going, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. And he's going, she's going, I don't care about your fire or your greatness. Okay, just got through, I hear you, Margaret. My second birthday too in lockdown, says Marie in the hills of Donegal. Thanks for the dance though. You're welcome. Oh God, said Karen from Ballytor. Great balls of fire really tested my dancing date with Tubbs. Every morning. Well, do you know what? You can't beat a bit of rock and roll. Like I'll play more for you. I'd love to. I'm just looking outside to double check. But yeah, I think we should be okay with that. It's 9:23. Anya Grace in Selbridge, you've just described my dream home, Connemara, the sea, the music. Just add a vegetable garden surrounded by a dry stone wall with a little stream for dipping the watering can. It's pure heaven. Thanks for keeping me sane. Yeah, that's where I'm going. See you there. I'm getting my jab tomorrow, says text. Looking forward to going home to Ballycoolan in Dublin. Good on you. That's great. Did you know that Jerry Lee Lewis lived in Dublin in the 90s? Yes, I did. Chris hung out at Lily's, didn't know that. And the Pink Elephant, didn't know that. And recorded an album here with Van the Man. I went to see him, I think, with my pals in the Olympia or the Gaiety. I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the, like going to see Tony Bennett. You just look like you've stepped into the 50s and you watch the piano being played, or the way Tony Bennett holds a microphone and the way he buttons his suit. It's pure class. And the way he holds a note, engages the audience. They don't make them like that anymore. That's the truth.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
9:44, and we're talking to kids about their pets this week. We're celebrating the PetFix Club online shop for pet lovers that was created by a team of trusted animal experts, including vet Pete Wedderburn. PetFix Club gives you all the best pet advice you need, as well as being an exciting online shop full of the best pet products, all selected by Pete the Vet. And we have a Samsung Galaxy A7 tablet and amazing PetFix Club prizes to win every day, including a voucher for €150 for the shop there, and membership card, and food for your cat and dog, and Chuck It products, and all of that. So 1850 715 900, we'd love to hear from you. A lot of love for Jerry Lee Lewis on the text this morning. It was mad, which is great. I really enjoyed Jerry Lee Lewis, says Nula. I'm dancing around and so happy to have turned 60 in December, as it gives me the gift of a vaccine sooner. Good. And another says, I am 74. Hazel, good morning, Hazel. I'm a 74-year-old rock and roller and I had back surgery the week before the first lockdown. So I have to do physio every morning and I try and get exercises finished before you play your daily music. But today I just had to jump off the bed and get jiving. Shadow jiving anyway. No sign of a vaccine yet, but you're the bright spot in the day. So keep playing those great dance tunes. I will do our best. Delighted. Great shout about Gamara. It's a great show. I'm awaiting new episodes. They should be well and truly there. Jerry Lee Lewis brings back great memories of the time he played the RDS with Bruce Springsteen around 1992. That must have been quite a collaboration. Thanks to my mum, Denise Blake in Donegal, for bringing me to that. And another says, I'm in my 78th year. And Great Balls of Fire was the first single I ever bought, McCullough's and Stephen's Green, with my three pals after school, the Holy Faith, Clarendon Street, now long gone. I'm isolating in a place a long way from the city, but I can't begin to write how I feel after hearing that disc. The power, isn't it? The power of a tune in terms of what it does to make you want to get up and dance, or it's simply a memory. So I'm delighted to hear that you enjoyed that. Fascinating information about the birds from Roy, says Anne-Marie and Claire. I highly recommend reading Diary of a Young Naturalist by the young Fermanagh writer Darren McNulty. He writes in the most beautiful way about nature and describes birds with great enthusiasm. Sounds lovely. Going back to your earlier texter, as I approached Garda checkpoint, I always turn off my radio because I consider it a mannerly thing to do. Perhaps the Garda did not appreciate having to compete with Jerry Lee Lewis this morning. Yeah, I tend to turn it down too. But sometimes it's hard to turn it down if you're enjoying yourself so much. It makes it... We had a beloved rescue dog called the Colonel, who had the same issues as President Biden's dog, Major. A bit of a coincidence in the name. Yeah, mate. Oh, yes. It's military background dog names, but it's very common. Thank you, Geraldine. And I'm doing, says another, an advent calendar for the countdown to the restrictions being lifted. So there's the golf and there's county football when I can see my mum outdoors. And I'm starting the countdown. Good. My daughter sells boxes of eggs beside the road and the crows were always taking out the eggs and eating them. One day my daughter put in stones instead, but the crows wouldn't go near the box. They're clever out there. They knew exactly what they wanted, but more importantly, what they didn't want.
Turn the radio off, don't.
That's George Michael and Too Funky. That's a great song. 10 to 10 o'clock. Nobody's mentioned the seagull stealing golf balls. There is, says Maria and Dublin. There's nothing as bad as hitting a good shot and not being able to find the ball as the bird has picked up the thing in its beak. What a great excuse that would be. I don't play golf, but what a great excuse that would be if you go, oh, where's your ball? The seagull got it. You could blame the seagull every time. Okay, stay tuned to Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.